Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we share together in God's precious Word. Here's Senior Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
When someone looks at you and says, I love you, we're kind of just trying to summarize this general feeling of fondness or friendliness towards them that generally is how it's used in our everyday conversation. But instead of an abstraction of feeling, Jesus points to a particular action of fellowship. And I want you to notice the tenses, how it's used here. We say, I love you. Jesus said, I have loved you. Consider the difference. Wouldn't it be something at the end of the day, instead of looking over, you know, to your spouse or to your kid or whoever it may be and telling them, you know, good night, I love you, to say, good night, I have loved you today? You see the difference. One points towards, okay, yeah, I'm appreciated, just that general feeling. The other one says, look at the proof. You have been loved today because of what's been done, what's been said, what's been shown. Jesus put it that way when he said, I have loved you. Continue in my love. And again, if we're to continue in something, we need to try and understand it. And so here are just a few verses about the love of Christ before the rest of our time. We're going to look at his ministry, but here are just a few verses that you'd write down if you'd like. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. So these are kind of some prerequisites to really comprehending, trying to, the love of Christ in his earthly ministry, is understanding, well, the love that we're talking about in the first place. We love him because he first loved us. In verse 10 of that same chapter, 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Of course, elsewhere in scripture, we know not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And then 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we understand it, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so time won't allow us to examine every area of love in the life of Christ, obviously, but hopefully the brief study tonight is going to provide a satisfactory overview and a foundation for you to have a deeper study. So tonight we are going to examine the love of Christ, or specifically, as the Bible refers to it, the compassion of Christ. You probably heard before, it's put out there for especially Hollywood budget, things like that, but the passion of the Christ. I want to talk to you about the compassion of Christ. And we're going to go through this in order of appearance in our scripture in a linear fashion. That way you don't have to flip back and forth. I'm going to start in Matthew, and we're just going to go along through the books. There will be some instances that will be repeated, because after Matthew, there's Mark and Luke, and some of them refer to some of these same events. But to keep from flipping back and forth, we're going to go through them in order of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and not chronologically, time-wise, as these events would have happened. And I'll try to make mention when it's something that we've already covered, just so you can have that for your own notes. But the first time I want to look at it is in Matthew chapter number 9, verses 35-38. Matthew chapter 9, 35-38. And as we find out the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, we're going to see some very familiar and fascinating parts of his ministry and principles that it's attached to that hopefully we'll have a greater appreciation for after we read about these. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35, my Bible actually has a little heading in here. It breaks up the different sections of scripture. My Bible's heading literally says Jesus' compassion. I don't know what your heading has in there, but that's just what mine is. But in verse number 35 of Matthew 9, we read this. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We're going to pause right there. We're not going to read the rest. I want you to notice this first instance here. of Christ being moved with compassion. To be moved with compassion is literally to be moved to one's bowels, is how they would describe it, the innermost part. To them, the bowels, that was the innermost seat of man, the deepest part. We'd refer to it today as the heart. We'd say, you know, I love you with all of my heart. That's the most intimate and vulnerable that I can be. For them, they would refer to it as the bowels. Now, I'm really glad that nobody comes up and says, I love you with all of my bowels. There's just some phrases in vernacular that I'm glad we've, you know. But the ideology behind it is that the same thing that we would say with your heart today. It's that innermost part of us. It's that seat of love and of pity. And it's important for us to remember, for understanding the significance of bowels of mercies and kindness that the Bible talks about. It's coming from that innermost seat of man. It comes from a source of love that's inside. And this is important. It's genuine. It's not fake or forced. Every time that we see Christ is moved with compassion, it's a genuine movement. It's not something that's fake or forced or has to be coerced out of him. Here he sees the multitudes, and the Bible says that they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And the Bible tells us that Christ was moved with compassion. Now, see what follows that. Verse 37. Then, after he's been moved with compassion, saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That great passage of scripture, boy, that's used to encourage prayer for missions and for ministry outreaches. And that request about sending forth more laborers into the harvest never takes place without the compassion of Christ. Moving on, Matthew chapter number 14. So turn a few pages over from Matthew 9 to Matthew 14, verses 13 through 18. This here we find Jesus feeds the 5,000. Bible says, when Jesus heard of it, in verse 13, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And for context, this is pretty important. Let me give you the context of what's taking place here. John the Baptist has just been executed. And Jesus has been told John the Baptist has been put to death. And this is why Jesus, when he heard it, he departed thence into a desert place apart. If you try to map out how many instances of, to get the picture, Jesus is going away alone. He departed. He left by ship. He went into a desert place apart. So it's very clear it is not his intention to bring a big multitude of people with him. But look what the big multitude of people do. They follow after him. The Bible says on foot out of the cities. Verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and pause right there. I dare say if this was you or me, our response would be, please just leave me alone. You don't know the kind of day I've had. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what awaits me. There's something greater at play. I left you. I got in a ship. I came to a desert place, and it was intentional to be apart. Please, will you just go home? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus saw them, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. He allowed himself to be touched and to be moved to minister among them. And when it was evening, the disciples came unto him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. He's been laboring among the people. And his disciples, like good people, they're sticking it out. But now it's getting near the end of the day. And all right, Jesus, let's wrap it up. You know what time it is? Yeah. If this was us after a Sunday evening service, we'd say something like, all right, somebody get the lights. You know, that's what his disciples said. Jesus, send these people home.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.